Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program one more time. You know, I was at General Counsel here a few weeks ago, and I walked through the exhibit hall. I didn't realize I was going to do that at that particular time, but I saw some people I knew. I started talking to them, and next thing I knew, I had all I'd missed what I had gone there for in the first place. And so I decided to walk around the exhibit hall during that window of opportunity that I had, and I came across a booth, and it was titled Refresh, and it wasn't a radio program or anything like that. And I went up to him, and I said, you know, I just wanted to come see your booth because that's the name of the radio program that I do 5 days a week, and there's some products out there. We have a product that we have for our washing machine, and it's called Refresh. I think there's a Refresh Computers over in Orlando someplace. And I did see a conference that was advertised, a church conference, I think in 2018. And it was called the Refresh Conference. And I was like, man, I ought to go to that for brand identity there. And so we are thankful that you have tuned in today. And we pray that this will be a half hour that is well spent in your life as you hear the word of God. I want to take just a moment and say this. If you're listening and you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come and visit Merit Assembly of God. You know, I know that there are some people that are shut-ins. They can't get out and things like that. But there are others of you out there that are listening, and you have the ability to get out. You have the ability to come and gather with other believers. And many times it's because of some things that have happened in the past and things like that. And let me just let you know that if you've been hurt in the past at church and you come to Merit Assembly of God, you will find that other people at Merit Assembly of God have been hurt in the past at church, and they came to Merit Assembly of God and they found a family of believers. The pastor, you know, myself, I have that in the past, you know. And there's probably the reality that we've hurt people as well. And we pray that they're still actively in church. I want to encourage you. There is something to be said for gathering together with other believers. And even more so, Hebrews says, as the day approaches, we need to not be forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But more than that, more than just by doing it by command, there are tremendous relationships that you can build because you get to hang around one another. You're not there all by yourself. And so I want to take just a little bit of time and invite you out to Merit Assembly of God. You will not find us to be the largest church in town, but you will find that we love one another, and we preach the word, we worship exuberantly. We just want to come together and have church, be the church, and we would love for you to come and be a part of that experience as well. So with that being said, we have been talking about deception, you know, the Ten Commandments that were delivered to keep people from evil. The commandment we're looking at is thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Boil it down and it's you shall not lie. We've talked about some biblical examples. Jacob was a liar. Rebecca was in on the deception. Led Jacob to Laban, who deceived him 10 times at least. Then Jacob's wife, Rachel, gets involved on the deception. His kids get involved in the deception. Pharaoh's in on deception. And the Gibeonites, we talked about them being involved in deception. And they were just trying to save their neck. That's what they were doing. And they wanted to assimilate into the family of God. They figured that that was better than being annihilated. And so they had preservation on their mind. So we've talked about some real life examples, and we may talk about some more down the road. But I want to talk to you today, and probably tomorrow as well. I don't know exactly how many days we'll go on this particular aspect of this, but the most dangerous person that can lie to you is yourself. And you've heard me tell the story on here a number of times that I told my son, and it's probably going to go back 9-10 years at this point in time. My wife and I were talking the other night, and we looked at something, and it was like, surely that wasn't 10 years ago. And it was 10 years ago. And it was like, my goodness, it just doesn't seem like it could have happened that long ago. It seems much shorter than that. But 10 years is a stretch of time. And my son, I said, you know, after this project, I'm going to slow down. And he said, Dad, you're lying to yourself. And I looked at him and I said, you're probably right. Let me amend that statement to just say this. He was right. He was right. I didn't realize that the radio program was going to come into existence after that. And that changed a whole bunch of things in my daily schedule. Now there's, it's a privilege to come, but there's also a responsibility because I don't want to be a babbling idiot on here. I don't want to be degrading the name of the Lord. I want to come and present the Word of God in an accurate manner. And so that changed the dynamic of my schedule. We also had a house that we renovated in the last 10 years and fixed up. We've got work going on at the church now, work going on at my house now, trying to make it more presentable. Parts of the house have not had anything done to them for 20 years. And so we got a lot of things going, but I've also got this. I do have a plan in place that says, you know what, when these projects get done, there's going to be a change in the dynamic. So there is a plan for that to slow down here in the days ahead. We'll have to wait and see if that plan comes together. But like the A-team said on TV back when I was a kid, my dad adopted this line, I love it when a plan comes together. So today we want to talk to you about that most important person that can deceive you, and that is yourself. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 9, it says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. Some proofful statement. The first one is the heart is deceitful above all things. So we have to, if we want to be delivered from a life of deceit, of people lying to us and us lying to other people, we've got to realize that we have a heart issue. As fallen creatures, as sinful human beings, we have a heart issue. We have a heart that's inclined to evil apart from Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes into our heart, he realigns our heart to where we no longer desire to do the things that we once did. We are disgusted by them. We don't want to have any part of them. I know someone, they used to have a very destructive habit in their life, a couple of people, and God delivered them. They've been delivered from this destructive habit for 20 years now, and they are vigilantly, diligently opposed to the behavior that was a part of their life for decades and decades, and now they've got a couple of decades removed from that, And boy, they are not fans of that previous behavior at all. You see, the heart is deceitful because, you know, the world says things like this. How can this be so wrong when it feels so right? The heart is deceitful. It tells you there will not be any consequences for your behavior. Yeah, it could happen to other people, but it will you. You're invincible. You're a unique creation here on planet Earth. You are immune from the bad consequences that could happen. Only one problem with that is you are not immune. And so we have to, if we want to be a truthful witness, if we do not want deception to be a part of our life, we have to realize that it's a heart issue first and foremost. And our heart can lie to us. So we talked a little bit about this the other day when we were talking about Samson and Delilah and how Samson had a heart issue. We talk about that he had a woman issue, but he really had a heart issue. He really had a heart issue. And he thought that he was invincible. And the Philistines had an heart issue because they thought that once they had blinded Samson and he had lost his strength, that God could not utilize him anymore, and they failed to notice that his hair started growing again, and his strength returned, and they all perished during that time. We have to guard our heart. And here it says that the heart is deceitful above all things. You think about the most skilled liar that you know. I remember one time that I was in a large group, and this person was being commended for their skill in deception. They had a title that they had given this person because of their great capabilities in the art of deception. And when I heard that, I was taken aback. I was like, if you are that good at it for you know, this area of your life, do you bring that same skill set over into other parts of your life? And if so, how does anybody trust you? How does anybody believe a word that comes out of your mouth? And so we've got to guard ourselves. Listen, being a tremendous liar is not something to put on your resume. That's something that we need to repent of. And I know that there are some highly sensitive careers in America and things like, and around the globe for that matter, and that there's all sorts of pretending that goes on and deception that goes on. But if that's been a part of your past, repent so that integrity and truth can be a part of your future. Not only is the heart deceitful, but it's desperately wicked. Do you realize that there are competing philosophies as far as the nature of man here in modern times? There's one that says, you know, well, we're basically all good human beings, and occasionally there are a few bad apples that pop up, but you know, I'm going to go to heaven because I'm a good person. I want you to see that Jeremiah says that the heart is desperately wicked. It will lie to you, and you will think that you're going one place and you end up going another place. That's not the way that you want it to operate. The second competing thought, we are all sinners, dirty, rotten sinners, professional sinners, and that apart from Jesus, we have nothing to offer heaven. And in between those two philosophies, there's this grading scale. And it's a grading scale that people call good. And they say, well, I'm better than this person over here. I'm better than this person. I can do this. They do this. They killed somebody. I didn't kill somebody. I'm a good person. I'm going to heaven. I want you to understand that that is deceitfulness. It is desperately wicked that Jesus, they called Jesus a good person, and he said, wait a minute, why are you calling good? There is none good but God. Now listen, if there was ever a good person that walked on planet Earth, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wasn't telling them that he wasn't a good person. He was just trying to get them to recognize that if they were calling him good, it was because they recognized God in him. And that's what makes us good. So good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. So we need to recognize the desperate wickedness of our heart. And so you've got some people, and they will fall into the other camp, and that is, well, if I'm bad, I'm going to be really bad. And boy, I'm going to feel better once I do this. I'm going to feel better after I get revenge. And you know what? That's not going to make you feel better. It's part of that wickedness of your heart that deceives you, that gets you going down an ungodly path. So we've got to recognize the importance of our heart. If a doctor told you today, look, you've got a heart defect, you've got something going on, your heart is not beating in rhythm, it's not producing the pressure that it needs, it's not functioning the way that it's not sending the blood to the lungs the way that it is supposed to, it's not pulling the blood up from the extremities of your body, there's a major heart, your pulse is not very strong, or it's beating too fast, your heartbeat is, if any of those things were told to us, we would say, we'll do something about it. What can be done about it? Do something about it. Do it now. And we're talking about a functionality of a heart that is going to last for a very finite period of time. And we don't give any credence at all to the reality that our spiritual heart is going to endure forever, either in the goodness of heaven or in the horrific conditions of hell. Why would we not do heart repair? We should be very, very urgent about it. Let me just say that. So it goes on and he says, who can know it? Who can know it? Would you want to do surgery on yourself? I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to go in and try and operate on my own heart. That just doesn't sound like a winning situation to me. I don't know if it does to you, but if you know what's going on, you're going to need somebody. It's pretty impossible to operate on your own self. And God says, instead of who can know it, let me tell you what I do. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. He goes in and he works in each and every one of those situations so that you and I can identify what we have going on in our heart. You see, God's not looking to conceal the matters of our heart. How many times have you had somebody that said, wow, I can't believe I just did that? That's normally a shock to us. Many times it's because we have just done something very bad. Sometimes it can be because we've done something very good. But I'll tell you, the one person in all the universe that's never shocked about anything that comes out of our heart, and that's God. He brings the issues out of our heart so that they can be revealed. Now, he says, I search the heart and I test the mind. So those are not bad things. Those are wonderful things. Those are things that when they're going on, letting us know that there's problems that go in, and he wants to fix them. God not only knows what's going on, but he can repair those issues. He can fix those issues. He can renew our mind. He helps us to recognize when we've got something that is not right, that when it happens, when it comes out, he says, well, if you will repent of that, I can go in there and I can renew this mind. I can take out this heart of stone. I can give you a heart of flesh. I can take out this heart of deception and I can give you a heart of truth. I can take out this heart that is desperately wicked and I can give you a heart that will worship me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. That's what God wants to do. And so whenever God brings those things to your attention and to my attention, we shouldn't be ashamed of them. We should be saying, thank you, God, for bringing that to my attention so that I can deal with it. I would much rather deal with a problem when it's a small problem than it is when it is a big problem. Now, here at the very end of verse number 10, it tells us this great promise, and that is this: I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. And so when I read that, I said, you know what, God, you are not going to withhold any good thing from your children. You give us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And so I want God to make a heart change in my life so that the things that I do are transformed and that I get set up for a different category of gifts than I had before. I want God to be able to tell me, you know what, I am going to give you good and wonderful gifts because you have a heart that is right with me. I want you to know that you have sown seeds, you have acted in the fruits of righteousness, and you are now set up for a glorious, glorious harvest of blessing. I don't know about you, but that's a wonderful, wonderful thought to me. That there's not anybody who's going to be able to separate me from the blessing that God wants to bring my way. There's no one that can separate you from the blessing that God wants to bring your way. Now, there is also a negative side. There is a side that says if you and I continue to operate with a deceptive heart, that we are going to continue to reap a harvest of deceitful interactions. That if we continue to have a desperately wicked heart, we're going to continue to reap the fruits of wickedness. Those are the two options. If we try and remain neutral, we're going to experience neutral, but it's still going to be basically just waiting for the next bad thing to happen. You know, I don't want to be that person. I'll be honest with you. I don't want to be the person that is just sitting idly by waiting for the next catastrophe to happen in my life. There are too many people, once a problem passes them by, they say, whew, we survived that one. And they never give any thought that unless there's some change that happens, something bad, something possibly worse than what they just experienced, is going to come and they're going to experience that again. I don't know about you, but that does not sound like what I want going on in my life. I want to encourage all of us who are listening today, let's be proactive. Now, many times we think, okay, I want instantaneous results. Well, you know what? We didn't get into the mess that we found ourselves in by just one decision. And God's going to walk us through that process of getting us out. He wants us to develop, to mature, to grow. And, you know, there's a series of battles that we will fight. He can change our heart and change our spiritual condition. And when that happens, then all of a sudden we begin to see things a little bit differently and say, okay, where do we go from here? Where are we going to go from here? And, I want to encourage you that the change in the destination is affected by the change that we have in our heart. If God can change our heart, it's only a matter of time before the harvest changes. It's only a matter of time before we find that the relational dynamics that we have going on in our life are going to be completely and totally transformed. Listen, it is well worth it. If we continue to deceive ourselves and say, look, I'm a good person. I've got a good heart. Nothing bad is ever going to happen to me. My heart, I'm a good person. Then we're going to continue to deceive ourselves. And that's the most dangerous thing that we could ever do. If we deceive ourselves at some point in time, we're going to say, you know what? Throw my hands up, give up, and I'm going to go on and do damage to other people. We cannot afford to have a deceitful heart. Instead, let's let the Lord come in, live in our heart, and say, God, would you help me to be a worshiper of you with all of my heart, with all of my soul, all of my mind, and all of my strength? It promises much greater rewards. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Oh, beautiful.